Your live sessions will be here. Your summer 2016, right? Let's pray this works, right? Come to live sessions page, and you're from summer 2016. Please work, Mr. Computer. Thank you, Mr. Computer, for working. They will be posted right here. All of the replays. All these items that are right here right now, these replays. Right, this page. All of this information is going to be copied over to this page right here. I haven't done it yet, right, because we're not done. But after next week and we have our last session, then I'll just copy and paste all of it and it will be all on this one page. This website is going to go away. I've built 50 of these. I'm not going to build any more of these. No more, Donna. All future semesters will be here on this one super cool website. Hopefully at some point this can make my life easier. It's made it a lot harder for the past 3 months, but hopefully beginning, you know, in 2017, it's going to make my life a lot easier. And then depending on whatever semester you're in, you know, if you're in the spring, the summer, the fall, you'll be able to access that page. And it's coded so that only people from the spring can see that page when they click it. Only people from the fall will be able to see this page when they click it. So that's kind of how the membership site is set up. So within the next, probably do it, not this week, right? But like next week. So be watching your email for an invitation that says, hey, you know, come to the website. And probably what I'll have is the web guy set up your account for you. And if I have him do it, which is what I think I'm going to do, then your username is just going to be the email that you paid with. And your password is going to be changeme132. And I'll send you an email that kind of explains that. If you've taken other classes with us, it'll work a little, and you've already set up an account, then it will be a little bit different. We'll try to add it to that. The biggest problem that we've had is that people have an account, and then they buy a new class and they set up a new account, and then they end up with two accounts, and they're like, well, wait, I signed up for Breakthrough. Why isn't it letting me get access? Well, because you signed up for that with a different email address, or you set up a different account. Anyway, that's beyond the scope of what I want to call. So anyway, I hope that was helpful. Do you have any questions on that before I dive into what we're going to cover today? Oh my, Donna. Okay. See if you have any questions on that. Is that clear? Is that helpful? Are you hearing me? This is the live session. Someone's saying, what's a live session? This is a live session. Right? I'm really here live. This is really me. Right? No, this is the live session. It's a good question. You know, probably if you're wondering that, other people. Yeah, the live sessions are these things that we do every week when I join you. And okay, is everybody clear? Yeah, it's really me. Is it live or is it Memorex? Anybody remember that? Okay. All right, let me go ahead and dive into today. Everybody found that helpful? Is anyone confused? Does anyone have questions? Ask now or forever hold your peace. Anybody excited about the new website? Doesn't look cool? Looks easier to navigate, huh? Okay, here we go. So God, I thank you so much for this journey that we've shared together, and for those women who've had a remarkable experience. We have women who've lost a significant amount of weight and others who've been set free in other fundamental ways. And so we thank you for what you've done, and we look forward to what you're going to do in the closing days. Amen. Someone's asking, what's the difference between live sessions and week training? Okay, let me go back because that seems like a good question. The weekly training is all pre-recorded materials. At one point, they were live. And then we just keep adding them in. What's the problem? It's pre-recorded material is under the weekly training. And with all that we do live, we really don't need all that pre-recorded stuff. Really, what I should do is just make this class all pre-recorded, but then people don't like it. They like the live. They like being here. Even if you guys don't raise your hand and talk to me, it seems like you like the fact that I'm here live. Is that true? Is everyone clear? Does anybody else have any questions? Is this clear? Can I get some feedback? Is this making sense to everybody? The weekly sessions is all the material that's pre-recorded. The live sessions are what we do here live. Okay? All right, here we go. So we are on week 12. That moment, right? And we've been talking about the 7 secrets for weight release. Number one is to recognize your body is on the front line of a spiritual war. Fight this battle on your knees. Get your prayer chair, ladies. Get your lemon water. Get your prayer chair. You doing that? How you doing? You doing that much? That's a start. Do it for something more significant than a scale or a dress size. Find your why, the why that makes you cry. Why do you need to change? Is it for your marriage? Is it for your kids? Is it for your grandkids? Do you want to take a cruise vacation? Do you want to be an author and a speaker? Do you want to be involved in ministry? Are you going to your high school reunion? Did the doctor tell you you're going to die if you don't change the way? What is it? What is that big? It's got to be something bigger than, wow, I wish I wore a smaller dress size. Something that motivates you. And once you lock it onto that, then there's no stopping you. And until you lock onto that, you're going to struggle. Understand the battles waged and won or lost in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, not your body. But having said that, you know, you need to do things differently in your body. You need to eat differently. You need to put different things into your mouth. This is 80% is what goes into your mouth. Now, I would argue that the things you put in your mouth, you put it in your mouth because of what's happening in your mind, will, and your emotions. Somebody hurts your feelings, so you gotta have a brownie. Right? But nevertheless, you need to change what's going into your mouth. And then getting up and exercising. So your body is important. Maybe I don't emphasize it enough. Yes, it's your soul. Soul at rest, body in motion. But you need both. Soul at rest. I mean, is everybody getting this? This is my last time I'm teaching, so I'm making sure we all got this. Has everybody got this? Soul at rest, body in motion. But body in motion, soul at rest. Getting outside, taking a walk, first thing in the morning, is one of the best things that you can do for your soul. Starting your day with exercise and a healthy meal is good for your soul. It's 7 o'clock in the morning and you're like, I am a rock star. It's 7 o'clock. I've already had my quiet time. I've already had a healthy breakfast. I've already had a green smoothie with kale and berries and coconut oil and flax seeds. And I've already put all this good stuff into my body. I've already taken a walk and looked at the birds and the trees. I'm a rock star. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. This is going to be a great day. So getting your body in motion, into the kitchen for some healthy food, not a bowl of cereal and some milk and coffee. That's good for your soul, right? So I think next semester I'm going to do more with that because I think maybe I didn't do enough on that. You could let me know. Did I talk enough about the fact that this is a two-way street? Soul at rest, yes. Body in motion, both are important. And they affect each other. for better or for worse, they affect each other. And it either becomes a spiral, like a snowball of good God things in your life, or the opposite, a downward spiral, right? Stop depleting your limited supply of willpower. We've talked about that. I've given you so many examples. I'm going to give you another one today. Of things that you can do, little bits with consistency. And this week we're going to talk about breathing. Just breathe. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So it starts with breath. A body that doesn't breathe is dead, James 2:26. It's a modern translation there. Oxygen produces ATP, without which our bodies would immediately shut down. Oxygen moves into the bloodstream, then into the trillions of cells in your body. Oxygen is the fuel your cells live on and what enables them to generate energy. Improper breathing affects all these different areas. See, and this is another thing where we've let paranoia about being new age and, you know, we don't want to do yoga and all these other Eastern meditational. We look at these counterfeits and we're like, well, we don't want to get within a mile of that. And we've thrown out the baby with the bathwater. These things really do work. Improper breathing affects your nervous system. Every breath has an immediate effect, making us either more calm or more anxious. And I'll say more about that in a minute. It affects your lungs. Shorter breaths necessarily mean more breaths, which means the lungs have to work harder to get the same amount of oxygen. Do you ever think about that? I just took a deep breath. It affects your bloodstream. Not enough oxygen in the bloodstream causes blood vessels to constrict, which can lead to high blood pressure, and your heart has to work harder. It affects brain function. The brain uses 20% of the oxygen that we consume. When there's a shortage, the brain works slower, and we get this little symptom called brain fog. Anybody get brain fog? The brain regulates a lot of other functions in the body, and these are also affected. Improper breathing affects your muscles. An oxygen shortage has a negative effect on your stamina. Muscles grow stiff, tense, they tire faster. You get painful muscles. You have a limited range of motion when you do try to exercise, which can cause injury. It affects circulation, not enough oxygen to the pump. Do you have cold hands, cold feet? It's probably because you're not breathing properly. By the way, Kristen, I knew you're here. I'm going to open up my iPhone. Okay. Improper breathing can produce a variety of symptoms, including mental fog, dizziness, anxiety, chest pain, digestive problems, irritable bowel syndrome, neck and shoulder pain. Any of these symptoms sounding familiar? Here, and I remember going to a Christian counselor. I had some stuff going on in my life, and I went to a Christian counselor, and she told me that the problem was the way I breathed, and I thought the woman was crazy. I never went back to her. I'm like, are you some kind of a new age? I mean, I need a Bible verse. What are you doing? I came to the church for Christian counseling, insight from the Word of God. And you're telling me to breathe differently? A woman's crazy. She was right. I should have listened to her. This is exactly what she was trying to tell me. So if you're thinking, I don't know what, Donna seems so biblical up until today. I don't know what she's talking about. I felt the same way. Totally in one ear and out the other. And this was probably 15 years ago. But she tried to explain this to me, that the way you breathe affects the mode that your body is in. Fight, kind of the fight or flight mode. When we're anxious or afraid, we naturally take shorter, faster breaths because we're in the fight or flight mode. When we develop the habit of shorter breathing, our brain wonders what we are anxious about. Remember last week we talked about how your brain is always trying to come up with answers? And when if you have Botox and you're always smiling, you actually become a happier person because your brain's like, wow, what are we smiling about? Let's see. What can we be happy about? Oh, birds are chirping. Sun's shining. Let's see. The car didn't crash. Your brain literally starts trying to come up with an answer. That's your brain's job. Remember we talked about that last week? Was that helpful? I'm slumped over in the chair. Your brain's like, why are we slumped over? Are we sad? Why are we slumped? Why are we frowning? Are we depressed? Why are we laying back at 2 p.m? We must be sick. For real. Yeah, remember? I hope you're sitting up straight. Wonder Woman, you get your Wonder Woman pose going? Same thing here. When you develop the habit of shorter breathing, your brain wonders, what are we anxious about? What are we afraid of? What do we need to run away from? What's wrong? And your brain will always find an answer. Your brain will always find an answer. That's what it does. See, sometimes we think we have these profound problems. And sometimes it's simple. The last 2 weeks, we've really been talking about your body, moving your body differently will affect your soul, which affects your spiritual condition. Hope I'm helping somebody. It's your brain's job to find explanations, and it will look for reasons that you might be feeling anxious or afraid. So check this out and write this down. Shallow breathing is both a symptom and a cause of anxiety. And that's what the Christian psychologist was trying to tell me. And I did not want to hear. I just wanted her to give me a Bible verse. Be anxious for nothing. Shallow breathing is both a symptom and a cause, can actually cause you to be anxious. Just by the way you're breathing. Some of these new age people are right. Why? Because they're in the new age? No, because God's truth is God's truth and they've stumbled upon it. Just because someone who isn't a Christian believes the truth doesn't make it any less true. They are right. Stretching in the morning, breathing deeply, these things really are good for you. And I'm right. If you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's like New Age. That's like Eastern religion. I'm not doing that. I totally get it. But they've stumbled upon something. You know, stumbling around in the dark there. They've stumbled onto something. So try taking a deep breath right now. And hold it. What expanded? Your chest or your stomach? Let's try it again. Take a deep breath. And release it. You're like, am I at yoga class? What is happening? What expanded? Your chest or your stomach? This is really interesting. If your chest expanded, that means you have become habituated to shallow breathing. Your chest should not expand. Watch a baby sleeping. Their stomach, not their chest, is what rises and falls with each breath. Because we were born to be deep breathers and to breathe from our abdomen, not from our chest. How we breathe affects our energy production, our mental alertness, our ability to cleanse the body of toxins, our digestion, our mood, and feelings of relaxation or tension in our body. Some studies suggest a link between shallow breathing and chronic fatigue syndrome. The fight or flight mode directly affects willpower. Come on, check it out. If your body is constantly in a state of panic, shallow breathing, it's not surprising that we would feel tired. What may surprise you is that it has a direct effect on your willpower. So let's just dive deep into this for a minute. Your brain and willpower. There are three different areas of the prefrontal cortex that control three different aspects of willpower. The left region of your prefrontal cortex is responsible for the I will part of willpower. The right region of the prefrontal cortex is responsible for the I won't part of willpower. And then the middle lower region is responsible for the I want. A little bit of a mistake there. The I want. I will, I won't, and I want. It's responsible for the I want part of willpower. And more often than not, it's the chemistry of our brain that's behind the lack of willpower, not inherent character flaws. The same way it's not reasonable to expect your muscles to exert unlimited amounts of strength, it's not reasonable to expect your brain to exert unlimited amount of willpower. And we've talked about this extensively. You have to understand that you've got to train in order to increase your willpower the same way you train in order to increase your physical strength. We've been talking about that now for 12 weeks. I hope you've got this. In one of the ways, one of the best ways, according to research, to stimulate and strengthen the prefrontal cortex is through, wait for it, meditation. Why does the Bible tell us over and over and over again, I meditate on your word day and night, meditate on the word, meditate, meditate, meditate. And again, we get nervous. We're like, well, is that like, you know, is that Eastern mysticism? Am I the only one? Let me know. Am I the only one who gets nervous about this stuff? I know I'm not. The Christian church today has no idea what to do about this whole meditation thing. It makes us nervous. If I were the devil and I knew that I could make the church anxious and weak by telling them that they should never meditate, I would definitely do that all day long. Our refusal to discover how a Christian can meditate in a God-honoring way is making us anxious and weak, physically weak and weak in our willpower. Everything that God tells us in the Bible, even if we don't understand why, we should just do what the book says. Because every command of God is there for our good. But now you know. Did you know this? Can literally strengthen your brain through meditation. I know not everybody prays in tongues. Not everybody is. Yeah, I get that. But I will let you know this. They have done research on Catholic charismatic nuns. Specifically, like, hooked up these brain scans to them and then had them pray in tongues. And they discovered exactly this, that it was strengthening and stimulating the prefrontal cortex of their brain. They saw it on brain scans. This isn't someone's opinion. Science. Now, and I'll give you from the secular perspective. That's kind of from the Christian perspective. Science has been done. Tim Ferriss, a really interesting guy. He regularly interviews some of the most successful people in the world. Now, this guy is not a Christian at all, totally secular, but a fascinating and brilliant guy. I actually like to listen to him. And he interviews some of the most successful people in the world, and he estimates that about 80% of the people he brings onto his show turn out to be regular meditators. And when you look at what the science says, it makes sense that successful people would choose this habit, and also that people who have this habit would become successful. Now, I can't endorse him, and I've mentioned this before. He uses bad language, but he's a brilliant businessman and a thinker and a prognosticator. Just really, I find him fascinating. But I can't give him a wholehearted endorsement because he is not a Christian, and he does use colorful language from time to time. But I think that this is very significant. And most of these people are not Christians. But the fact is that the principles of God's word work, even when you don't believe in them. Gravity works whether you believe in it or not. Gravity doesn't work just for Christians. Gravity works for everybody. The fundamental principles of the universe apply whether you believe in them or not. And meditation is clearly one of the fundamental principles of the universe. And it's good for your brain whether you believe it or not. Now, obviously, if you're meditating on the Word of God, and you're meditating biblically, that's going to be even more powerful. That should be obvious. When you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, we should be more successful. That's what I'm saying. We should be healthier than the yoga fitness people. We should be healthier, smarter, and more successful than all these business people who are using transcendental meditation instead of God's word. We should be more successful. That make sense? According to researchers, continual meditation creates actual physical changes in the brain in the form of increased gray matter density in the hippocampus, which is an area known to be important for learning and memory, and in structures associated with self-awareness, compassion, and introspection. Maybe those are other reasons why God commands us over and over again, meditate, meditate, meditate on the word. Maybe that's why David was so smart, that he built a kingdom that, you know, was worth, when he left it to his son, $1 trillion, because he meditated day and night. Maybe that's part of it. There's also a decrease in gray matter density in the, I'm going to mess that word up so you can just read it, which plays an important role in handling anxiety and stress. It's all from the Science of Willpower. So I hope between last week and this week that you're going to be standing up straight, breathing deeply, and I'm going to give you some more practical tips on this. I'm telling you, this stuff can change your life. Neuroscientists have found that just 11 hours of meditation creates structural changes in the part of the brain monitoring our self-control. You know, when I talk about fasting, and that's another thing they've done a lot of scientific studies on. They've done brain scans, again, on people who've are fasting. And they've discovered that after X number of, once your body gets into what I call the fasting zone, which is a real physiological state, parts of the brain shut down, specifically those parts of the brain that say, I want, I want, I want, gimme, 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 gimme. Those parts of the brain shut down. And other parts of the brain come into high alert and become more active. So if you were to fast, listen to me, if you were to do a 10-day fast, and during that 10-day fast, take an hour a day of meditation, and somewhere in that 10 days do an extra hour, maybe an extra 10, 15 minutes a day, that would literally, those 10 days would change your brain in the area of self-control. So a 10-day fast, why is a 10-day fast effective? Is it because you're going to lose weight? No, you'll probably gain weight. As soon as you go off, you'll probably gain. No, but it'll change the structure of your brain. Spiritually, there'll be a breakthrough. Physiologically, there'll be a breakthrough. So make sure prayer and fasting. Yeah, so we're not just trying to starve ourselves, but prayer coupled with fasting and meditative prayer combined with fasting is like atomic power. Can really set you free from some things. And we'll be doing a 10-day fast in the Power of God class coming up in November. I just added this PS. Tim Ferriss always asks people one of the main questions every day on his every time he does his podcast, says, tell me about your morning routine. And they almost always have an answer. The only person who didn't have an answer was Dave Ramsey. I was really surprised. He did not have an answer. Every other person, Tim Ferriss says, well, what's your morning routine? And they rattle off, this is my morning routine. Bop, 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 bop. It's on autopilot. And these people are successful. It's not a coincidence. Why do they have a morning routine? Well, because they have self-control. Why do they have self-control? Because they've been meditating. And vice versa. See, it's a positive cycle. So breathing to increase willpower. When your willpower is on the line, breathe in. And you know, how many times have you heard this? Well, just you know, you're in a crowd. Okay, just breathe. Count to 10. It's actually really good advice. It's really good advice. Breathe in for 3 seconds, pause for 1, breathe out for 5. Repeat 5 times. And you should notice a change in a minute or 2. This activates your prefrontal cortex, the command center of your brain. Yeah, I just made this point. You can shift your brain out of fight or flight mode into what Suzanne Segerstrom, a psychologist at the University of Kentucky, calls the pause and plan mode. So these are the two kind of modes. There's the fight or flight, the shallow breathing, anxious, or the pause and plan mode. And there's actually, if you... Donna. Okay, we got it. There's actually, if you want to Google this, if this is interesting to you, Suzanne Segerstrom did a TED Talk on this. But again, wouldn't that just make sense if meditating strengthens the pause and plan mode? That people who meditate are more successful? Why are they more successful? Because rather than spending their whole life fighting and running away from issues and problems that need to be addressed, they pause and plan and pause and plan and pause and plan. It's not a mystery. It's not a fluke of the universe. There's a reason why people are where they are. And then I just made a little list of other willpower boosters because this is my last teaching session. So I'm just kind of throwing some stuff out. Eating low glycemic, vegetables, nuts, some fruits, healthy fats. The renewal diet strengthens your willpower. Exercise, plenty of sleep, spending time with good friends, decluttering your morning and evening routine, keeping those solid. And maybe add to your morning routine and your evening routine time for meditation if you're not already doing that. And I thought I had put this in here somewhere, and maybe I didn't, but a great way to practice breathing is flat on the back, flat on your back on the floor, because then you will notice when you breathe deep, you'll notice, does your chest rise or does your stomach rise? And it should be your stomach. And so you really kind of concentrate on that. I'm a big time shallow breather. Totally breathe out of my chest. So yeah, just notice it. I think you'll find it really interesting. Other willpower boosters, committing to dates and times. Research found that a specific date made you 2 times as likely to follow through with a commitment. If you had a date and a time, you are 4 times as likely to follow through than people who had a vague commitment. And that was specifically in terms of exercise. People who said, I'm going to exercise Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7:30 a.m. at the fitness class were way more, 4 times more likely to follow through than people who just said, I'm going to exercise Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. An accountability partner, bookend your day with a partner. Have somebody in the morning that you walk with. Have a morning walking partner. And then at night, have a prayer partner. Bookend your day with an accountability partner. Will really boost your ability to get things done and change your life. put some money on the line. You have serious, dire consequences. I hope that you are really excited about the 21-day no excuses challenge. And that you've put some money on the line. It really works. You know, you buy a gift card for $150 for like the spa day to end all spa days. And either you're going to use it if you do what you say you're going to do, or you're going to give it away. Really effective. Yeah, and then setting yourself up to win. Think about your desired outcomes. And then create a home and work environment that makes it easy to do the right thing and hard to do the wrong thing. That's why whenever you go on a new, you know, fitness regime, the first thing they tell you is you go through your pantry and get rid of it. Get rid of all the junk. Put on your workout. Guess what I'm wearing right now? Can anybody guess? A pair of workout shorts and a sports bra. That's what I'm wearing right now. Got up this morning, 6 o'clock, had my little time, did my little morning routine, 7:30. I was at a fitness class. I have no idea what they're saying. It's all in Spanish. I do know izquierda. That means go to the left. And derecha, that means to the right. I'm learning some other body parts, too. Your pie is your toe, and your pierna is your leg, and your alta is up in the air. So I'm learning. Yeah, I'm there Monday, Wednesday, Friday. No hablo español, but I can jump up and down to get some exercise. So there you go. And then things that drain your willpower. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Chronic pain, stress, lack of sleep, junk food, anger, anxiety, loneliness, depression. Tips for proper breathing. Oh, this is where I put it. Breathe through your nose. Breathe with your diaphragm. Okay, so you're going to see your stomach moving, not your chest. Focus on good posture when you're sitting and standing. We talked about that last week. And as I said, practice breathing flat on your back. Will really, really help you. Number 5 was overcoming emotional eating triggers, critical for lifelong weight management. And again, what I just shared, some of that could have been put into this category. If your brain thinks you're anxious, then it will figure out why and say, wow, this is terrible. We better go eat something. You know this by now. Exercise, little bits with consistency. How you doing on that? You taking a daily walk? Are you using that Pomodoro app to break up your day? Getting up, just doing some stretches, 90 seconds of exercise before you eat, do some push-ups against the wall, jump up and down on your trampoline, just throughout the day, get up. Get a tiny bit of exercise. Do some jumping jacks. Do something. Biblical fasting, essential for health, vitality, and lifelong weight management. And again, we do the 1 day a week fast here in this class, and then we do the extended fast in some of the other classes. You know by now the steps to renewal success. You get to read the book, you get to listen to the training, you get to watch the video, join the webinars, meet other ladies, and change your life. They're little bits with consistency. And this week, why don't you focus on increasing your willpower the easy way? Breathe. Just breathe. Helpful? I hope so. You've got your morning routine and your evening routine. How are you doing with those two things? Pray this was a blessing. Let me go ahead and end the recording, and then I'll take any questions that you may have. If anybody wants to raise a hand, you're more than welcome. Questions, comments, helpful? If I'm not mistaken, there's a lady here who donated towards my roommate's new scooter. And I want you to know that the money you donated was almost exactly what we needed. Not much more than what you donated came in. So basically, you pretty much, what God put on your heart, pretty much did it. Because there was a gentleman here, he's a wealthy gentleman, who cares about her ministry. And he put up the lion's share and really ran with it. And then he said, okay, so Donna, this was your idea. This is what I need from you. And really what you donated was just about enough. So I want to thank you. And she's a really, really great lady. And I think it's going to be a blessing to her. So I want to just thank you. Very helpful? Yep, I thought so. Yeah, you pretty much covered my part of the scooter. Yeah, that was just so good. And there were a couple other people, you know, just gave a little bit. And it was, honestly, it was just about exactly to the penny what this gentleman asked me to contribute. So I really wanted to thank you and honor you for what you did. It was really God. I'm like, Lord, I need it. I thought I needed, you know, this much, 10 times. I need all this money. And the man is like, Donna, do we really want her to go into the poorest of the poor of the poor, most dangerous neighborhoods in this most dangerous city in the country with a brand new spanking shiny scooter? Or maybe we should just get a secondhand one and fix it up. So you pretty much donated the scooter. So thank you. And I see a couple other people also pitched in a bit, and I thank you as well. Any questions, comments? Was this helpful? Helpful? Someone's saying, I have a daughter who needs this class, but she's 18. So you don't need to say anything else. Yes, 18, they know it all. Actually, my 20-year-old just sent me a little note, sorry, Mom, for, you know, such and so. And I'm like, okay, she's starting to grow up. Somebody saying, hey, looking forward to the fall renewal. Well, we're looking forward to it as well. Hey, if there are no questions, then I'll go ahead and wrap it up. I hope that you enjoyed this. And thank God it worked. It appears that I didn't lose you and the internet cooperated. So thank you, Jesus. God bless everybody. See you on the Facebook group.